One of the most popular hymns in the Lutheran tradition is called Now Thank We All Our God. It was written by Martin Rinkert, who was the pastor of a church in the German village of Eilenburg for 31 years between 1617 and 1648. He had no idea when he began his ministry there that within a few months it would be a war zone. What came to be known as the 30 Years' War broke out in early 1618, and Eilenburg was a magnet for refugees because it was surrounded by a wall. But as thousands of German citizens pressed into that sanctuary city, the Swedish army cut off food supplies, and starvation and then disease became rampant. Thousands of people died within the city walls year after year. Eventually, every other pastor in Eilenburg either fled the city or died, and Martin Rinkert was the only one left. He conducted funerals every day, sometimes burying as many as 50 people at a time, including on one of those days, his own wife. Two-thirds of his congregation, more than 8,000 people, died. Yet he stayed in that church from the beginning of the war to the end of it, from age 31 to 61. It took such a toll on him that he died a year after the war ended. But sometime during his ministry in Eilenburg, Martin Rinkert wrote these words, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today." 4 centuries later, that song is still being sung in churches all around the world. Among Lutherans, only Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is a more popular hymn. Have you ever noticed that the people God uses most powerfully to teach others to be thankful are those who seem to have the least to be thankful for? I have to confess that this past week, there have been times when I have been anything but thankful, because I was just beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel when the extension of restrictions popped my bubble of optimism. I think that was a common reaction nationwide because many states had to come out with new guidelines before May 1st. A friend of mine who owns a business in California was interviewed by a local news channel on Thursday, and he said to the reporter that when he saw the updated guidelines, he blew a gasket. I could so relate to that. But at the same time, I was praying and asking God to show me what He wanted me to teach today. And it was when I was most grumpy that my answer came. Teach on thankfulness. I'll tell you, sometimes God's sense of humor really bugs me. But of course, it's during times when we don't feel thankful that we're most in need of the reminder that thankfulness is not a fair-weather command. In 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live." Actually, several of Paul's letters are saturated with a theme of gratitude. And what's striking to me is that the letters in which he talks about thankfulness the most are those that he wrote when his circumstances were the worst. For example, he wrote the book of Colossians after he had been arrested in Jerusalem, and then imprisoned for 2 years in Caesarea, and then placed under house arrest in Rome. And yet, of all the virtues he wanted the Colossian Christians to cultivate, none was more important to him than that of gratitude. In chapter 1, he says, "We have not stopped praying that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way." And then he prays for 4 different things that please the Lord, one of which is giving joyful thanks to Him. Then in chapter 2, he writes, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." He says it again in chapter 3, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And one more time in chapter 4, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Nowhere does Paul say, be thankful when the circumstances warrant it. No, we're to be thankful even when we're under quarantine or under arrest like Paul was, or under siege like Martin Rinkert was. We are to be thankful even when, or maybe I should say especially when, it's hard to find things to be thankful for. Well, I know that's true, but I can't help but wonder, what difference does it make? I mean, is gratitude just a godly virtue with no practical benefit, or does it actually make things better? That question reminded me of a talk I heard when I was a college student and a brand new Christian. The speaker was a woman by the name of Nay Bailey. She was in her late 40s, plain looking, soft spoken, just ordinary in every way. But she said something in that message that I have never forgotten. She said that when we give thanks for everything, we bring God into the negative. I don't remember her making her point with any dramatic stories. She just said it with a quiet authority that I can only attribute to the Spirit of God. The fact that I remember it 38 years later testifies to its power. And I can still recall some of the ways God showed up in my life when I put that message into practice in the months and years after I heard it. But it's been a while since I thought about it. So when it popped into my head this past week, I thought to myself, where is that in Scripture? And two stories came to mind. One was the story of Daniel, God's prophet, who lived most of his life in exile, far from his homeland. Chapter 6 of the book of Daniel says that he was such an exceptional leader that the king of Persia handpicked him to rule over his entire kingdom. Well, that made the others who wanted the job jealous. And so they tried to dig up dirt on Daniel. And when they found nothing, they resorted to religious persecution. They knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. So they convinced the king to establish a law that anyone who prayed to anyone except him, the king, would be fed to lions. And the scripture says that when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And you may know the story. Daniel was arrested and thrown into the lion's den. But God shut the mouths of the lions. And after Daniel was lifted out of the den the next day, without so much as a scratch on him, the king had those who had framed Daniel thrown in. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. And then the king wrote a new law. It read, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Wow, that's what I call bringing God into the negative. And then I thought of a New Testament example. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were missionaries in the city of Philippi, and there was a demon-possessed, fortune-telling slave girl there who was disrupting their preaching of the gospel, and so Paul drove out the demon, which resulted in the slave girl losing her ability to tell fortunes. That had a negative economic impact on her owners, and so they stirred up persecution against the missionaries. Paul and Silas were arrested and stripped and beaten. And then they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was told to put them in the most secure cell and to put their feet in stocks. And the scripture says that at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, when suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's yet another biblical example of bringing God into the negative through thanksgiving. But as amazing as those stories are, and as much as I would love for God to do through me the kind of things he did through Daniel and Paul and Silas, I would settle for a change of attitude. I mean, if I could just exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, well, that would be enough for me. Can thankfulness produce that? Yes, it can. I want to show you one more passage of Scripture. Can I do that? Are you still with me? I want you to stare at Ephesians 5:18, which says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Okay, now stop and think. What happens when we're filled with the Spirit of God? Well, among other things, we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, all of those traits that are impossible for us to manufacture on our own, especially these days. So the critical question is, how do we get filled up with the Spirit? And I think the next few verses tell us how to do it. We do it by speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, and by singing and making music from our heart to the Lord, and by, look at it, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? When we always give thanks to God for everything, we are filled with His Spirit. Or to say it another way, we bring God into the negative. This past week, as I was thinking back on Nae Bailey's talk at that retreat so long ago, I wondered if she was still alive. So I Googled her name, and I discovered that she is alive and well. She's now 84 years old, and she is still a staff member of the ministry that she joined in 1961. In fact, she was asked to speak in an online prayer meeting called Be Still 2020 that was held less than a month ago, after the coronavirus had shut down our whole country. I found a recording of that Zoom meeting, and in it, Nae talked about her roommate, a woman in her 70s by the name of Mary Graham, who has Alzheimer's. Nae has been taking care of Mary since her diagnosis, but eventually caring for her and also working full-time became too much for Nae, and she agreed to bring in help from the outside 6 days a week. But then came COVID-19 and the quarantine, and the in-home care stopped, and it was back to caring for Mary from early morning to midnight every day. It was overwhelming to Nae. I mean, Mary would see mail packages on the porch. She'd go out and pick them up, having no idea how dangerous they might be. Many things like that stressed Nae out to the point that she was experiencing symptoms that made her wonder if she was having a heart attack. But then she said it occurred to her that she had not thanked God for the trial she was in. I was blown away when I heard that. She was talking about the very same thing that she talked about at that retreat 4 decades ago, bringing God into the negative. And it was just when she was about to share what difference that decision made in what she is going through right now that her face disappeared from the Zoom call. She got disconnected. Have you had that happen? Well, they couldn't get her back. So her talk ended before she could share the benefits of thanking God for her life under quarantine. But I had heard enough. Once again, Nae Bailey reminded me that when I choose to be thankful, I bring God into the negative. Gratitude fills my life with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow on the branches of my life. Joy replaces depression. Peace replaces anxiety. Patience replaces frustration. I don't know about you, but I need those things right now. And I am so glad for the reminder that thankfulness is one key to cultivating all those positive virtues in the midst of the negative circumstances we are in. So let me challenge you, as the Spirit of God has challenged me, to dispel grumpiness through the discipline of gratitude. That's how you bring God into the negative, assuming that you have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Just in case no one has shared this with you before, let me tell you the good news that Jesus came to restore our relationship with God through His own death on the cross. You see, that was where He paid the penalty that we deserve for our sins. God the Father punished His own Son so that He would not have to punish us. And we become people in whom the Spirit of God lives when we acknowledge our need for the sacrifice Jesus made, and we believe that He died for us and rose from the dead. If you have never before made the decision to trust in Christ, you can do it right now. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. And as all of us respond to whatever the Spirit of God has said to us today, I want to invite you, if you've never before put your life in Jesus' hands, to do that. Tell Him that you believe He died for you and that He rose from the dead. Ask Him to come into your life, to cleanse you of your past, and to make you the kind of person God created you to be. If you pray that prayer in faith, He will answer it. God, thank You so much for the reminder that You are giving us about how important it is to choose gratitude in hard times. And we do that right now. By faith, we thank You for everything that's going on in our lives, for every dimension of this trial that we are experiencing right now, because we believe that You are sovereign, that You're in control. We believe that all things work together for the good of those who love You. And so thank You. And we trust that as we walk through this next week with constant gratitude, that You will work in us and through us in ways that are better than anything we could ask or imagine. So again, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.